We'd like to welcome everyone to the study session for Mesa City Council for Monday, March 23rd, 2009. We are going to move into executive session for just a few minutes. It shouldn't take very long to discuss some items, negotiation related to the spring training situation. And then we'll be right back. So if you want to sit back, I'll entertain a motion to move into executive session. Motion by the Vice Mayor, second by Councilmember Summers. All in favor?
Aye.
We will move into executive session. We'll be back in just a few short minutes. Thank you. Hey, I think we're all back. Thank you so very much for your patience. We'll move on to item number two on the agenda, which is to review items on the agenda for tonight's City Council meeting. Yes, let's remove all of them. Okay, page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. Page six. Mr. Wesley. Oh, page seven. Mr. Wesley.
Mayor and Council, in your packet with regard to the zoning case for the council use permit on your agenda tonight, on pages 18 and 19 of that packet, there's a map and then some explanation of that map. The map was copied in black and white and made it a little bit hard to read, so I just passed out a color version of that to make it a little bit more readable. Just wanted to point out that that was at your place.
Okay, thank you. Anything else on page seven? All right. And everyone did notice, I think a couple of you weren't here last week, that 7B is not on the consent agenda. So we'll be, okay. Item number three, a hear presentation discussed and provide direction on transit budget issues, including Dial-A-Ride. Mr. James, Mr. Clevenger.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Dan Clevenger, Transportation Director. With me is Mike James, Deputy Transportation Director over Transit. Last Thursday, we presented the streets program budget, including the operational capital budgets. This is the second program in transportation, is the transit program. Unlike the streets program, there's no dedicated local funding source for transit. However, there is some regional funding from Prop 400. So any funding shortfalls would have general fund implications. We provide three transit services in Mesa currently. First is light rail, fixed route bus service, and paratransit, which includes Ride Choice and Dial-A-Ride. I'll provide a little bit more detail on those in upcoming slides. Just want to spend a little bit of time on this chart. You'll see others like it within the presentation. This slide shows the transit budget overview. That first column of numbers shows the current fiscal year city budget. The second column shows next year's proposed city allocation. The third column of numbers is the provider's estimate of net costs from, in this case, light rails from Metro and fixed bus and Dial-A-Rides from RPTA. And the fourth column of numbers is the percent increase over fiscal year 08-09, which is this current fiscal year. And then any required adjustments that would be need to be made to balance the budget. So if you look on that top row, you'll see the allocation for light rail in 09-10 is about $1.75 million. That matches the provider estimate. And the but there's a, if you look a little bit lower, you'll see two budget shortfalls. One on fixed route bus is about $462,000, and then Dial-A-Ride is about $1.1 million. That gives us a total budget shortfall of about $1.56 million. So that's our problem that we're working on. Going over light rail transit, this is the first of our three transit options. And don't have to tell you, light rail's been real successful to date. There's 35,000 weekday riders on average in the system, including over 3,500 a day in Mesa. We also in Mesa have the largest and most utilized park and ride in the entire system. As I mentioned earlier, the budget allocation for light rail is $1.75 million to operate light rail for next fiscal year. This includes a little bit of capital cost for construction of the Sycamore Transit Center. Because the allocated budget matches the anticipated net cost for Metro, we have no expected budget shortfall related to light rail. Going on to fixed route bus service, this is our second transit service. This consists of 12 local routes, 6 express routes, 1 link, which is the bus rapid transit on Main Street, 1 downtown circulator called the Buzz, and these costs also include operation and maintenance of our bus stops and shelters. Here's another chart breaking down the cost for fixed route bus. This current fiscal year, 08-09, we expect to spend about $4.7 million in city funding for fixed bus route service. The allocation, though, in 09-10 accounts for about a 3% increase. If you look at RPTA's estimate, it shows about a 13% increase. RPTA's expected increases are due to increased miles purchased. I believe these are some of the diversions to the Sycamore Transit Center. A contractor rate increase of 3% that is yet to be negotiated. Includes a reduction in federal fuel tax credit and some increased fuel costs. The result is a $462,000 budget shortfall, which would require service adjustments to reduce costs. These are some of the proposed service adjustments in order to attempt to balance the budget, really, with regard to fixed route service. 4 options we've identified there are shortening Route 30, which is University. That would be shortened by 2 miles on the Power Road portion of this route. However, continuing service would be provided with the transfer at Power and Main. Second item there, second bullet point, is eliminating the last evening run on 6 different routes. I guess I should back up. The shortening Route 30 would net or would show savings of about $385,000. The eliminating the last run on those 6 routes is worth about $118,000. And the Buzz, which is the downtown circulator, if we move Saturday service from 30-minute frequency to 1-hour frequency, there'd be a savings of about $56,000. That last item is Route 108, called Elliott. There's a 2-mile portion that comes up Power Road between Guadalupe and Southern. City of Chandler is anticipating cutting Saturday service on this route, so if we fall in line with that, there'd be some small savings, but at this point, we're looking at everything. That'd be about $14,000. So all these adjustments together would total about $574,000 in savings on fixed route. Moving on to paratransit.
Vice Mayor.
On that Route 108 on Elliott, say Chandler's considering cutting it. If they cut it, we have a bus to go nowhere.
Correct.
Which is what we ended up doing before when we cut some things. So,
Mayor and Vice Mayor, if they didn't cut it, we'd still have the option for us if we wanted to cut it. But certainly we would, Mike, if they cut it, we would do as well.
If they cut it, then it just...
Correct.
Almost again, automatic.
On the sheet, it's only $14,000, yeah. But again, we're looking at everything.
Okay.
Regarding paratransit, I just had a little, we've had a discussion just to want folks to know what this is all about. This is our third and final transit option. The prefix para means alongside or beyond. So we use the term paratransit to describe a service that complements fixed route transit. It's a flexible door-to-door transportation service using low or medium capacity vehicles. Transports disabled, elderly, or low-income riders who are not able to use the fixed route system. And really, paratransit provides a service that's just better able to accommodate individual user needs. We have 2 paratransit options in Mesa, Ride Choice and Dial Ride. First of these, Ride Choice, that's a lower cost. And I say lower cost, that's, I guess, in comparison to Dial Ride. It's a lower-cost citywide transportation alternative for residents who cannot use traditional fixed-route service. This year's version of Ride Choice includes 3 options: mileage reimbursement, coupons for cabs, and special transportation services, or STS. STS is going to be eliminated on July 1, 2009, and this service has been provided previously by Maricopa County. I've got a slide on that just in a little bit here. This slide just shows you some trip cost comparisons. When you compare mileage reimbursement, coupons for cabs, and Dial-A-Ride, you see they range from about $7 per one-way trip for mileage reimbursement, a little over $9 for coupons for cabs, and over $32, almost $33 for a Dial-A-Ride trip. This is a one-way trip. A little more detail on the mileage reimbursement program. This is how it works. Friends or relatives can get reimbursed 55 cents a mile to transport ADA or American with Disability Act pre-qualified residents or those 65 years or older. There's a limit of 300 miles per person for that you could be reimbursed. So it's really a friend or a relative helping someone out who may have used Dial-A-Ride, who may have used some of these other options. So it's just a lower cost option. Average cost to the city per trip on this program, that's the one I mentioned before, is about $7. The coupons for cab program requires a pre-qualified residence. To participate, you must be pre-qualified. And what folks do is they purchase taxi cab coupons at a reduced rate. They can get $10 worth of coupons for $2.50. The requirements include you must be ADA pre-qualified by Valley Metro or 65 or older. However, there are free coupons provided for dialysis trips. And again, the cost for that was a little over $9 per trip. Won't spend too much time on this one. That's the special transportation services. This is going to be cut. And again, it was Maricopa County's decision. Really, it's for financial reasons it's being cut. The county had previously relied on state dollars and the LTAF 2 or Powerball money, which are no longer available. So they won't be providing that service anymore. On the bottom or near the bottom, you see, or that last bullet point, we had allocated previously $105,000 for STS. Since it won't be there, part of staff's recommendation is to reallocate that to Dial-A-Ride for fiscal year 09-10, and you'll see that in our summary pages. Looking at these two programs together, mileage reimbursement, coupons for cabs, you'll see we'll spend about $367,000 this year on those two programs. We are proposing the same funding allocation for fiscal year 09-10. Unlike Dial-A-Ride, these two programs can be capped, so we could set a threshold at any number and meet that. But this is the service we provided before. In addition, we had the $105,000 from STS, which will not be there. So on to Dial-A-Ride. This is the one that's most difficult, I think, and potentially problematic due to rising costs. This is a service that's federally mandated. It provides complimentary transit service for Americans with disabilities who cannot use traditional fixed route bus service. We are required, federally mandated, to provide Dial-A-Ride service for areas within 3/4 of a mile of existing bus routes. And they must operate the same day as the bus and during the same hours.
And what does it mean? What's the level of service that's required to meet the complimentary transit service requirement?
I can answer that. There's a target to be able to pick up that person within a half an hour window of their original reservation as far as picking up passengers.
It has to be point to point, though, door to door?
Yes, it is point to point service.
Councilmember Summers.
Is that just for Dial-A-Ride? Is that also for the coupons for cabs? Are they keeping track of the pickup times, the 30-minute pickup times, if you use a cab instead of Dial-A-Ride?
No, I do not believe so. I think in the coupons for cabs program, each individual is responsible for calling the cab and getting their own time. We don't track the pickup times on the coupon for cabs.
Okay. And if we can you eliminate the Dial-A-Ride? You have to keep the Dial-A-Ride within the 3/4 mile, and then everything else is cab.
Yep.
Okay. Mayor, continuing with Dial-A-Ride service. Currently is operating citywide Monday to Saturday from 4 a.m. to midnight. We've got limited hours on Sundays and holidays. Users are required to be, again, pre-qualified by our RPTA, and they pay a $2 user fare per trip. The city of Mesa basically pays for the balance, which is over $30 for a one-way trip.
And I understand that the federal rules also dictate how much you can charge for the dial-a-ride as it relates to a differential between the regular transit. Is that correct?
That's right. It's I believe we're moving to two times the one trip fare for bus. So ultimately, we could, with the new fare changes that have been passed, we can eventually get up to $3.50. And what you're going to be seeing is we're going to be increasing that fare 50 cents starting in July and then 50 cents each year until we're up
to. When you say where, I mean, this is determined, just so we're clear, this is operated as a regional system. So we have five communities involved in this, and the communities, Mesa can't set the rates.
No.
We have to set it in conjunction with the five communities, and we have a couple of those communities, one in particular who doesn't want any fare increase and who actually voted against this at the RPTA meeting. So Mesa can't go in. We can't go in and do our own thing as it relates to this. We are stuck with whatever the region determines as far as fares goes. The majority of the region cities determine.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Some of the program adjustments we're looking at in Dial-A-Ride is better screening for qualified users. RPTA is actually moving towards an in-person assessment for this. And those assessments are really fairly common in most regional transit systems. The public process is going to begin this month on moving forward with that. So we hope that'll help to screen the riders to make sure only those appropriate are using this service. The next bullet, I think, requires a little bit more thought on this, but the intent there was to potentially adjust the hours of operation. Again, we're only required to match the fixed route system, and I guess you could look at it. Some of our earliest routes start about 4 a.m. and they end sometime 11:30-ish, so we're matching the earliest and latest routes. You could potentially gear Dial-A-Ride, I believe, route by route. You know, if you had a route that only went from 7 to 7, Dial-A-Ride service could be provided. What you do there, though, is a little complicated because now you're setting up zones within the city in different time frames. So that might not be a real good option. However, one of the suggestions later is to consider cutting the last evening run, which I mentioned earlier, on six routes. In that case, if our last route is running at 11:30 instead of midnight, Dial-A-Ride could be provided only until 11:30 instead of midnight. However, there's not a lot of riders. It's just one more thing we're looking at to potentially cut some costs. Okay, and then the last item there was fare increase coming for Dial-A-Ride. Fares will go up 50 cents on July 1, 2009 to $2.50 per trip, and fares will continue to increase for two more years annually. So making the July 2011 fares $3.50 per trip. So that'll help a little bit with some cost recovery as the fares come in. So on to the Dial-A-Ride budget then. This table shows $1.5 million for fiscal year 08-09. That's how much was allocated. And this number's a little misleading in the next column. That's fiscal year 09-10. I think what has happened there, it's about $366,000 less. That already includes, tentatively, the three-quarter mile Dial-A-Ride. We didn't mean to presume anything, but that's what's in the budget system. It takes that savings from going to three-quarters of a mile and also applies that $105,000 from the discontinued STS service. So that number is kind of artificially low. I think our funding would be about the same as last year. However, the key here is looking at the 09-10 RPTA estimate of $2.2 million. That's a 49% increase over the 08-09 budget, which is the kind of the source of our problem. That would that shows as a $1.1 million budget shortfall for Dial-A-Ride. So staff has come up with three what we call Dial-A-Ride scenarios for consideration to address that $1.1 million shortfall. This first one is what we call Dial-A-Ride status quo, that continues to provide the citywide service. If you follow along on the right side, you'll see the gross cost of $4.7 million, less the fares returned of $187,000, less the money coming from Proposition 400 of it's about $2.3 million, less the fuel tax credit, about $60,000, leaves us a total cost of $2.2 million to maintain the service. I want to spend just a minute on this $600,000 figure. This is a potential offset, again, for all three scenarios we're going to talk about. Proposition 400 includes reimbursements for bus stop improvements. Mesa's expecting $764,000 to come back this year. We are recommending that the $600,000 of that $764,000 be used to offset the funding shortfall for diaride. Got to stress that this is a one-time application of money. Don't normally like to do that, but we're recommending it be applied in every scenario, which lowers our total cost from $2.2 million down to $1.6 million. The remainder of the reimbursement that would be left would be, and again, this is the bus stop improvement reimbursement, $164,000. Our plan is to use it to construct some additional shelters. Originally, I guess you could say that it was all intended to be used for shelters. It's capital dollars. And we need to make some ADA adjustments to existing shelters. So after applying the reimbursement money, it shows about almost a $500,000 shortfall from the budget allocation. And I've asked Mike to go over this slide, which talks about why we've gone up $730,000 in 1 year.
Thank you. For the last few weeks, we've been working very closely with Dave Boggs and the RPTA staff on really getting and nailing down why have these costs gone up so significantly. The first point, the gross contractor cost, is really two components. The first component includes a 9.7% increase in the revenue hours that we're actually purchasing. This is in line with what we've seen with Dial-A-Ride for the last few years. It seems to be increasing at a rate between 8 and 11% per year. So our projection for this year is about 9.7. The second factor in that is a projected 3%, I'll call it contract service increase, that is yet to be negotiated. Dave and his staff will be working to get that as low as they can as they negotiate with Veolia, but in their contract year to year, they can go up at the very most 3%. Some of the other costs you'll see here, we've identified a fuel cost of additional cost of $105,000, additional overhead costs that goes back to that 3% increase. The next one, the proposed Prop 400 shortfall, that really relates back to the reduced revenues that we're seeing in Prop 400. Originally, we were looking at about, from the original projection, to get about $2.5 million. And this shortfall really is just what we're seeing. Like every other city or program, people aren't spending money. The revenues are not coming in. The last two items, credits here, are increased fares that's associated with buying more mileage, and then increased maintenance credit also associated with the additional mileage that would be purchased over the current year.
And Mayor, I see we're running a little short of time. I'm going to try to zip through some of these slides here. Our second scenario on Dial-A-Ride is just going to that federally mandated three-quarter mile service, applying the same offsets there. Net cost for that would be about $1.2 million. That would reduce our shortfall under the citywide, which was $500,000. It would reduce our budget shortfall to about $49,000. This is a map just kind of showing that.
Yeah, you'll see that this map shows in orange the service area, the weekday service area for that three-quarter mile service. You may also notice that we have assumed the fixed route reductions. For example, the 30 will be no longer going up and serving the Red Mountain Multi-Gen Center. So you'll see that change on this map.
Okay, Councilmember Summers.
Mr. James, can you describe for me what the gray areas are within the orange?
Sure. Those gray areas are Maricopa County. Well, they're Maricopa County islands. Those are areas within the three-quarter mile of bus service that we would still continue and serve today.
Who pays for that? Is it us or is it Maricopa County?
It's the city of Mesa pays for that.
Okay. So the city of Mesa is paying for county residents who are not in the city, and yet a very large portion of my district, east of Power Road, who are taxpaying members of the city of Mesa, are not going to receive service.
Under the scenario, yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
And just so we continue on with that is really a program issue not a conscious decision issue. That's basically how it falls out.
That's correct.
I mean, those county residents, because it's a regional system with federal mandates, we don't really have a choice as to whether we serve them or not, because the service area is really, as we're saying, determined by the federal mandate on the three-quarter of a mile. Correct?
That's correct, Mayor.
So if we could either choose to extend our service into those areas beyond the three-quarter and service that entire area, or we could run a bus route through that area and then be forced to serve that area because of the federal mandate. But what we're saying is that those happen to fall in there because we happen to have a bus route running by there, and we don't have bus routes running out in the other areas. That accurate?
Yes, that's right. That's accurate.
Councilmember Summers?
Mayor, thank you for catching that. It was not my intention to imply that this was a decision by the city, but that this was part of the federal mandate. So thank you for bringing that up.
Okay. This is the third scenario. It's what we call a three-quarter mile expanded service. It's the same as three-quarter mile, but this option would maybe it's easier to show you on this map ahead here. If you look down at this area, there's kind of a boot shaped along US 60 corridor. It's really baseline corridor. That would be added. This is a route that has a lot of the senior population out that way. It's a way to provide more service out there. However, at a cost of I think it was a little over $110,000 more than three-quarter mile service.
Councilmember Summers?
Dan, do we have to draw that line? Do we have to draw a straight line for that, or can we just pick up service in some areas that are of high demand?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, it's the council's decision. It's just one more option that staff came up with to show just a way to cover a little bit more. Again, though, it comes at a cost.
All right. My thought here, Mayor, is in looking at excuse me, in looking at this, areas in here that have a population at risk that need this service would be Sunland Village East, which is covered about three-quarters of it, Sunland Springs Village, and these are just some of them. There might be one or two others, is covered about a little less than half, and then Fountain of the Sun isn't covered at all. And that's also a retirement area that maybe there's another, if this were a direction that council wanted to seek, if we don't have to draw an imaginary straight line for a bus that doesn't exist, then maybe we just pick out certain at-risk communities as an alternative. One, it would service those communities. Secondly, it might actually save us a little bit of money other than drawing the line, because it would be a reduced service geographically.
Do we have that option to pick and choose areas even if they're not connected or they're disjointed or whatever?
Yeah, really, anything above the three-quarter mile federal mandate, we can choose what areas we want to serve.
It's a slippery slope.
That sounds like a fun discussion.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, man. You know, then it brings up some equity issues, but it's a decision.
Well, that's a nice one. That was very nice government speak. It's some equity issues.
Thank you. I've had a lot of practice.
Okay.
Let me get on with our summaries, if I could. This fixed route summary, again, these are the cuts or adjustments we've already talked about. This would, for fixed route, making those adjustments, we'd be $112,000. under the budget allocation. For dial-a-ride, if we make the staff recommendation of the three-quarter mile service, we would be $48,000 or almost $49,000 under or over budget. It'd be a budget shortfall. So looking at those, all of those together, light rail is on budget, fixed route is difference of $112,000, dial-a-ride is $48,000. So net, we would be about $63,000 or $64,000 under budget, comparing this to our allocation for 09-10, making the staff recommended changes. Here's briefly some additional potential savings.
Let's not forget the $600,000. Maybe I missed some of that in the beginning. If we take that's a one-time shot, that means we're foregoing capital monies to plow into operations?
That's correct, Mayor.
And then in subsequent years?
Mayor, we plan to work closely with Dial-A-Ride and get some focus groups together and try to identify some opportunities to make some improvements. I've got that right here, we call an initiation of a working group with RPTA to try to address some of those issues. We'll talk about the Dial-A-Ride service efficiencies, some forecasting of costs, and trying to come up with some strategies to make this more sustainable.
So what we're saying is we're in essence foregoing capital items to try and cover a shortfall that we don't know yet how we're going to be able to cover it. We're in the subsequent years, we're hoping we can maybe create some efficiencies or create some other things, but if we don't, we're going to be looking at even a much greater problem in 09 of 10.
Yes, Mayor.
That we have very little control over.
Yeah, that basically is it's a mandated program. Okay.
If we could talk just briefly on the public process that would be required if we make these service adjustments.
Yes. What we are looking at, Mayor, Council, was coming back on the 2nd of April with some direction on some of these recommendations. And then what we'd really like to do, because there are some significant changes, is having a public meeting where we would we'd post legal notice, have a public meeting in the early part of May, bring that back to Council in June, and then implement the new fiscal year in July. Now, the changes or the service adjustments that we've identified so far do not technically require us to do a public meeting, but we feel that it's the right thing to do for our community to get the word out and get some input on these changes.
So I kind of moved through some of those slides quickly, Mayor, but if there's any questions, we'd be happy to take them.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. And I know they're looking for some direction to come back. And I know there's some concerns on what I said previously with equity, but there's not a lot of equity in this anyway between East and West. I mean, folks on the outside of Power Road who are taxpayers like everybody else don't have their services. And I'm not just talking bus service. There's a lot of different services. And there's not an equity in who's going to be able to ride. And they were provided that service, and now they're not, and there are uncomfortable choices we'd have to make. And while it's easy to draw a line, and maybe that is the better alternative, I don't know, but I think we also need to look at how at some targeted provisions that address the needs of some at-risk populations, the ones that are really going to need the service and utilize that more than others, and see what the cost is, and then we'll figure out which way council wants to go on that. But I think this, Kyle can attest, at least in the last 2 years, that this is about the fourth time we've dealt with it. It's at the point now, I think, our back's up against the wall. There, we've been able to be creative and find other sources each time up till now, but with this economy, I don't know where to move. I'm disturbed by the fact that this impacts some at-risk populations, particularly in my district. I'm disturbed that we're considering using capital budget money for a one-time O&M with no idea what's going to happen next year. There's a lot of heartburn on it, and I know you gentlemen have put a lot of work, and I thank you for it. And I don't know, maybe we'll figure something out in the next week, but it's become increasingly difficult. Thank you, Mayor.
Mayor, I'm sorry.
No, you know, just a general question on the Dial-A-Ride. It has to be Dial-A-Ride accessible, or can it be Dial-A-Dan accessible? You know, I mean, could it be any service available to those areas within a quarter of a mile? Does it have to be serviced by Dial-A-Ride?
For those participants who are pre-qualified in ADA, if they call for Dial-A-Ride and request Dial-A-Ride, it's got to be Dial-A-Ride. But we do have the coupons for cabs and mileage to try to encourage people to use the lower cost alternatives.
But I mean, this is open. This is open to other people coming in and say, hey, we want to offer you this service. Is that something available to our residents? Like some nonprofit that said, you know what, during the day, during these hours, we have a fleet of 32 minivans. And we have certified drivers. Can they get in on this process? I'm just, you know, I'm hypothetical here. I don't know that.
There's a way to incorporate nonprofits that could want to provide the same type of service to enhance what we're doing with Dial-A-Ride. You couldn't replace it, but yeah, there's opportunity.
So you could encourage your population to call whoever, the other nonprofit, because it's going to save the city money, and if the service is just as good, that's something we could encourage them to do.
Yep, Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, I think that's the point, is if there's any other alternative other than Dial-A-Ride that can do it for $32 a trip cheaper, that we can divert to, that would meet the need that's already being, having to be addressed with Dial-A-Ride, we would certainly be willing to work with those groups, because that's the problem, is that there aren't a lot of other options, as you can see. And so certainly if there are other community groups that could come in and provide that service, meaning divert what would otherwise be a Dial-A-Ride call service and do it for much less, then that, you know, we'd rather pay, you know, whatever that is versus the $32 if it can, if the idea is, again, it has to be someone who'd be pre-qualified that would otherwise have called Dial-A-Ride and used that service, then it works for us.
And does this, would this, would it be available, or because, you know, they wouldn't meet that 300-mile threshold just because they're not Dial-A-Ride? You know, we'll just say, you know, Mesa United Way, fleet of 30 buses, you know, could they get in, or because they're not Dial-A-Ride, they could only charge up to 300 miles? Or is this some big, huge machine we're going to try to?
The 300 miles, Councilmember Higgins, the 300-mile thing was just, that was for the mileage reimbursement program only.
Okay.
So it's just a guideline within there, so you didn't have somebody, you know, racking up a bunch of miles that everyone else would pay for.
So we could get a different group if they're out there.
We're happy to discuss all options.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Last comment, Mayor, if I could. We were looking for some direction, but we've kind of deferred that to April 2nd. That's a study session. All its magic about that is it helps us meet the July 1 date, if that's what our target is.
I don't feel comfortable giving you direction, because I'm not sure I really have grasped exactly what we have to go through. And I'd also like to look into some of the details as far as the federal mandates and things like that. I'm a little bit, not a little bit, it just seems weird to me that we could cut frequency on bus runs and punish, or not punish, but cause others to feel the pain of reduced service levels, and yet Dial-A-Ride, because there's a bus line that exists within a certain thing, basically has no commensurate reduction to it. So it seems like we're, and I get it that this is a special group, I understand that, but there's something completely out of whack here, and maybe I should understand it because it is a federal program. I maybe my expectations are way too high. So, Vice Mayor.
Yes, your expectations are way too high.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I'm very uncomfortable, got heartburn trying to use capital dollars for O&M because it doesn't help us in the long term.
So let's talk a little bit more on April 2nd, and it'll give us a chance to digest it a little bit and maybe ask some questions individually outside of this if we have specific issues that we need resolved. Then we can come back on April 2nd with a little bit more synthesized thought as it relates to this issue.
Sounds good. Okay. We'll be here.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Let's go through real quickly. Acknowledge receipts and minutes of various boards.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
We have one more thing. We have Mr. Joey Gornick. Mr. Gornick, are you here? Good. Please come on up. As a pre-scheduled public opinion appearance. Mr. Gornick, you have 3 minutes. Go right ahead. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor and the council, I appreciate you allowing me to come talk to you. I'm building a home for my family at McDowell Road, just north of McDowell Road on Hawes. It's in a county island, and I need utilities for my home, and the utilities that are currently there, I have to excuse my rough overviews here, but this is my lot here where I'm building. I have City of Mesa sewer and water that cross over the front of the property. And I've had a hard time getting a clear
This is like soccer. You get add-on time for injury.
Appreciate it.
That's right.
I have both utilities crossing over the front of the property. As you can see here, the green is the sewer, and then the water is the blue. When I began the process of building my home, it was a $375 application fee, and then anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 for a utility hookup. Now what I'm being told is that it's more in the range of $35,000 for utilities, and a 6 month waiting period with an additional $13,000 application fee. And these are monies that I just haven't budgeted for, because originally it was far less. And I was wondering if there was any way that the council would, or the, I'm sorry, yes, the council would have any, there's anything that we could do to be able to accomplish this. It's just, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 increase I can work around, but when it jumps like that, it's just not money that I've budgeted for or have in my capabilities.
Yeah, and what I'd suggest is,
And Mayor and City Council, I know that we've had a chance to meet with the applicant. I believe that we are only applying the same impact fee, permitting fees that we require for anyone who wants to hook up to our city utilities. We've discussed this at quite a length over the last couple of months. So I don't believe we're charging any other fees that he would otherwise have to pay for if he hooked up to our utilities, whether he was inside or outside the city. So it's the same type of impact fees, fee in lieu, and I forget the title of the other fee that we have.
Utility
equity fee. So those are the fees that are being placed, that are being requested. I believe that's it. Christine, anything more than that I'm missing?
I'm not sure about the specifics of this
why don't we have you follow up with Ms. Solanka?
One of the fees is what he said. It's an in lieu of fee is what they've told me, and it's in case they ever decide to put curb and gutter across my property. And what they've said is that in lieu of fee is figured at $100 a linear foot of properties of surface property across Hawes. And I work in the construction industry, and curb and gutter doesn't cost $100 a linear foot. I did have some prices, and it was more in the $12 to $20 linear foot range. But and that fee, if you look here, these are all county properties. We have family members that live on this one and this one, but no desire to come into the county. So you're talking about a small section of curb and gutter if it were ever to get put in. And that's a substantial amount of money of right around $15,000.
I'll tell you what we can do. Why don't you get Mr. Friedline and Ms. Solanka, and they can come. They can go out sort out the details of this. We do have a method that you can go back before the Transportation Infrastructure Committee of the Council with specific details of that fit your particular case, and they have the ability to adjust to your specific circumstance. I'm not saying they're going to go one way or another. I'm just saying there actually is a process and a procedure in place to do that.
Okay.
So I'd suggest you sit down with those two, and we'll set you up, and we can put you on the schedule to work through that system if that's okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just one other comment that I had. I know the builder building this residence here, that we started about the same time, and his total permit fees were just over $12,000, including hookups and everything. So I appreciate it. Your time.
I'm sure they can look at it, and they'll get to the bottom and figure out, and if not, explain to you why there might be differences. Because once again, that may be building the house. You're also looking at fees that go in with the development of the property, which may have already been paid when that development was approved on that. So I don't know, but there's a lot of different reasons why the difference may seem like there's a big difference, but may have been embedded in the overall cost going clear back to the development of the property. And Ms. Zelanka and Mr. Friedline can point you in that right direction, okay?
Okay.
All righty. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn. A second. All in favor?
Aye.
And we're late upstairs, so let's go on.